The Spirit and the church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Are you someone who has a hard time keeping quiet at a moment where it's necessary? Biting your tongue and not saying what's on your mind, what's bothering you, what's wrong with the situation, what someone could do to make their situation better, perhaps even. Is that a struggle for you? To not weigh in? To let something go? Even though you know that you have advice to share that would be truly of benefit? Can't imagine what it must have been like for Zechariah to be unable to speak for the length of time that he did, especially considering what this was all about. He had never been a father, something he clearly desired, something he and Elizabeth had prayed an awful lot about. And as he waited in his older years for his miracle baby to come to full maturity in Elizabeth's womb, he couldn't have a single conversation about what he was thinking or feeling about anything with anyone other than his God. Perhaps that's exactly what God intended in that moment. Of course, that would never work in this day and age, because Zechariah would have his handheld device from which he could text all kinds of things. He couldn't speak, but he could speak. He could share. He could receive in almost the same way as speaking, without any limitations whatsoever. But you got to wonder, from day to day, what a struggle it must have been for a man whose life had been about teaching and serving, leading God's people in worship, even at the temple itself, when it was his group's turn to serve there, to be silenced, especially at this moment. This was the moment all of Israel had been waiting for. This was the moment all humanity had been waiting for. He had the knowledge between his ears and heavy on his heart that the child his wife was going to bear is the one spoken of in the prophecies, the voice crying in the wilderness, the one preparing the way for the Lord. And because Mary's relative, or rather Elizabeth's relative Mary, had arrived on the scene for those last 3 months of the pregnancy, he also had no doubt where and by whom God would bring into his world this child that his son would prepare the way for. It would be one of his wife's own relatives, someone he had known, maybe even from birth, who would be the mother of that child. And so he had news to share. He had ideas to offer. He had things to teach based on the Old Testament and his knowledge of it and his ability to share it with others. Very few people in that day and age had the ability to write, and written communication was exceptionally rare. Did you catch that in the verses here? You and I might expect that if John's father, Zechariah, had spent 9 months in silence, he would have made by that point a holster or something to carry around his writing pad so that he could have written conversation. But no. He was one of the few learned people that had the ability to write language, and so when the moment came for him to reveal that he was backing up his wife on the idea that this is going to be the name of this child, it's going to be John, not anything else, they've got to do a little search and find something for them to write on so that the priest who was present to take care of the circumcision and the naming right could read officially the father's determination of what the name would be. and then. All it took was that writing of that name, that statement, and then his tongue was loosed. He could speak. Oh, what joy. What absolute rapturous joy must have been flowing from that man in that moment. All the things he would have loved to have said. You have to imagine that he had spent significant time in that silence going over the words, determining exactly what order and how artfully to speak words that shared with the world the immediate reality of everything that was going on, what he knew about it and what it meant for everyone else that was willing to listen to what he had to say. So you and I are focusing on the last portion of this lesson where it's labeled Zechariah's song, and you and I might even say, wait a minute, that's taking some liberties here. Whoever did this translation of the scriptures, show me here where it says he's saying this. But it's always called the Song of Zechariah. It's an assumption that a heart of a believer, a man of this training who would have known how to sing the Psalms for public worship, even at the temple itself, would have had the ability to not only prepare himself with words to speak, but notes to match with those words for the purpose of conveying his joy, his knowledge, his hope in the Lord. There's a mirror there for you and I to look in this time of the year. Who doesn't have the inkling every once in a while between Thanksgiving and Christmas that this is taking a little too long? You know, we build this up so much, and yet there's this space in this time. And at least this year, it's the shortest distance possible between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I mean, last year, it was over a whole nother week. But that reality of there's preparation, there's time to think, to ponder, to pray, to contemplate, to wonder. And so it's not unusual for us to take some time to write some greetings that also extend other ideas of what's gone on in the last year or how you're thinking about things now to people that you love, to people that you know are interested in what's in your mind and your heart at this moment. And if you are going to see somebody over the holiday itself that you normally don't see over the course of the year, or maybe you haven't seen in even longer than that, you'll take some time to think about what you want to say to them, how you want to go about saying it, whether it's something they'll love to hear or something they'll be challenged to hear. The need to share something that's important to you usually requires preparation, some forethought. So how much of this is Zechariah stewing for 9 months with the scriptures of the Old Testament at his availability to study and scour so that he can see all of the different prophecies about his own son and Mary and Joseph's miracle baby as well? And how much of it is the immediacy of the Holy Spirit's inspiration guiding him to make sure that those words are poignant and pure and perfect in leading us to see and understand what needs to be communicated in a moment like that? I don't know for sure, but we know that the miracle of inspiration is happening because it's recorded for us as the very words of God. It's a beautiful thing that the church and this congregation as well have accepted these words as God's word to sing as part of worship, as another song of praise. In morning praise matins, it is a standard option following the sharing of the word, along with the Te Deum, alternating the two. Historically, that's been the case for hundreds and hundreds of years. Important words because of how they shape the message of the scriptures themselves. There's law and gospel there, and a significant detail about the saving promises of God and how he carried them out and fulfilled them. And so you have a man taking the time to prepare himself, but catch immediately in his words what he also does. He's not just prepared for everyone to understand the special nature of his own son's birth and naming and dedicating to the Lord for his purposes, he's also prepared to share the bigger news of the second child that will be born and how he will bring light and life, the forgiveness of sins, the overcoming of enemies for God's people, not just the ancient Israelites. This wasn't about the Romans and the other Palestinians that would team up with the Romans to subject them in this moment. This was about the enemies of sin and death and Satan. This was all about the predicament of humanity and how the moment had arrived that God was reversing that curse. He's really pointing back to that promise made in the garden of the one ultimate descendant of Adam and Eve that would undo everything they brought upon themselves and every other human being that would follow them. And what a marvelous, wonderful example it is for you and me of preparation for celebrating the other birth. In this case, Zechariah clearly knew it was only months later. There was opportunity for precision. All of God's people, all of humanity had wondered for millennia, times 2, 4, 10, to be wherever you find yourself in that spectrum of history. No one knew exactly when this was all going to play out. Now, Zechariah is one of those special individuals God has allowed that inside knowledge of not just word but also relationship to be able to say, this is happening like now. And it's time to be prepared to realize everything that God is actually doing in this moment. We've asked ourselves the question along this journey in Luke chapter 1. What are some of the best ways to get ready for the holidays? To observe our own personal celebration of the incarnation, of God becoming one of us for the purpose of our salvation. We've talked about how this family did some amazing work, guided by the Spirit, guided by the Word, of preparing themselves for the first Christmas. It's kind of an interesting way of looking at it from one family off, next to the Mary and Joseph immediate nuclear family. And they turn to the Word. And they look at the promises and they trust the promises and they understand who their God is and what He is doing, and then they speak it to others. It seems so simple. It's something anyone can do. You don't need to be a priest. You don't need to have all of that Old Testament original language education. You don't have to have every prophecy tight and calibrated to where it appears in which prophet and at what time in history and what it will mean in the life of the Messiah. What you need to know is the themes that Zechariah presents here of the forgiveness of sins, of the light of salvation, of the overcoming of enemies, of sin, death, separation from God, and what it means to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Of course, Zechariah doesn't know that just a short time later, in the skies above the hills outside of Bethlehem, angels will sing about that peace. Peace between God and a humanity that doesn't deserve His love and His interest and His sacrifice for them. But peace nonetheless. You and I know all too well the darkness of this world, and how that darkness is fed by the unbelief and the misbelief of every human, including our own at times. The scriptures make it clear. The best way we prepare for giving God glory, for thanking Him for His love, His powerful commitment to us demonstrated in His willingness to become one of us and change everything about our reality for all eternity, is growing in ability and comfort level of proclaiming that knowledge of salvation to others. Simply, directly, using the word itself and the concepts that are placed here in front of us. So when was the first time you had to memorize a passage to share in some context? And how often did it happen? And can you still rely on some of those verses? Maybe even the sequencing of them to tell this story, to proclaim this salvation this year. Between now and Christmas Day, between now and Epiphany, do you think there may be opportunities unique to you? Friends, family members, someone you work with, somebody you exercise with. Who knows what you might have in common and how you're connected to them? But they are bothered by the darkness because there's more darkness for them than for you, because you live in the light of salvation. You know of the forgiveness of your sins, and you know how your enemies have been overcome, just like Zechariah did. Are you ready? Are you prepared to celebrate Christmas, to be part of the holidays in the best way possible, of also sharing the hope that you have with gentleness and respect? Telling someone else what you know about this baby whose birthday we will acknowledge, even though I'm sure we don't have the day right. He doesn't mind. The idea being that you and I have, with every little bit of faith in our hearts and every little bit of knowledge in our minds, enough information right here in these verses to give this knowledge of salvation to someone else and be used by the Holy Spirit the way Zechariah was used by the Holy Spirit to move people from darkness and uncertainty with no hope, still in their sins, to trusting, believing, knowing children of God who understand how they're forgiven, by whom they're forgiven, how He came to life again for the purpose of guaranteeing them life after death, and a righteousness, a perfection, a peace with God that they could never earn but is now their gift from God through His Son, approving them to live with God forever. There can be no better gift. And there can be no better way to celebrate the holidays than sharing God's saving truth simply, confidently, joyfully. We've seen a family prepare for the holidays. They've been an awesome pattern for us to follow. Embrace them as your mentors. Take some time again in the next couple of days to read through all of this and ask the Lord to grow you in your ability to follow this pattern and glorify Him for giving you the path to peace in His Word. Amen.